Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Democratic South Dakota State Senator Billy Sutton has officially announced his plans to run for governor in 2018. We're going to talk about that next hour with the Dakota Political Junkie, so stay tuned. But first, we are going to talk about searching for perspective on our understanding of conservation. A new book challenges our assumptions about people and nature. It's an anthology of 11 essays edited by Anthony Amato. He's an associate professor of social science at Southwest Minnesota State University in Marshall. The book is called Conservation on the Northern Plains, New Perspectives. Anthony Amato joins us now from Marshall, Minnesota. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Greetings to all.
It is nice to have you here. And tell me the sort of origins or genesis of this book. Why a book on conservation and why now?
Well, conservation was a term that was very popular decades ago, and it seems to have fallen out of fashion. Other terms such as sustainability and now even resilience have replaced it. And I think it warrants reconsideration at a time when we're dealing with tremendous problems, environmental problems and social problems. I think that the term conservation and conservation movements of the past have a lot to offer. They can help put the present in perspective.
What's in a name? What's the difference between, is it sort of the connotation between sustainability, environmentalism, conservation?
Yeah, it is a matter of connotations. One thing about conservation is conservation relates usually to very specific objects or to very specific features about keeping them or keeping our ability to use them. Sustainability is a much more abstract. It deals with the side effects of things. It deals with how long we can keep going. So I think that part of it is that over time, this older term conservation was seen as narrow, and people were encouraged to think globally and think more about sustainability, but that took them away from thinking about the things they understood and were right in front of them.
Hmm. Give me an idea of some of the history. You mentioned conservation movements throughout the past. What comes to mind first?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, is President Theodore Roosevelt. He was not the first conservationist. We have to keep in mind that Yellowstone Park had been in existence for decades before his presidency. But he was the person who really put the term out there and encouraged the whole country to think about the conservation of resources. And he was drawing on a movement in forestry that had been in existence in Europe for several decades, and Roosevelt himself really ushered in this modern understanding of conservation that we just can't use and consume endlessly. And also, he really had some concern for places as well, because he thought that he was shaped by experiences that he had in special places. One such place was in northern North Dakota on the Northern Plains.
Hmm. That makes me wonder what sort of experiences shaped you as a child, or because clearly you still care about the topic. Do you have a
yes? Well, I grew up, and some of the time I played was actually playing in a drainage ditch of all places. when it dried up, that was an experience. And Wallace Stegner has this wonderful line in his writing called "The Sensuous Little Savage." And I think anyone who grew up, as I did in southwestern Minnesota and on the Northern Plains, prior to the era of indoor childhoods, had experiences with nature. They weren't necessarily experiences that were managed, and they weren't always learning experiences, but they were experiences where people learned about things such as cattails. And over time, I became kind of quite distant from outdoor experiences, but I've returned a lot to the outdoors because I've really find something there that's constant and stable at a time when everything seems to be changing so rapidly. There's always a new app, but there's not a new cattail, for example.
Your father, Joe Amato, is a frequent guest on this show on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Tell me how he influenced this book, and then perhaps how he influenced how you see the natural world. He kicked you outside to play, obviously.
We didn't have a television for the first 5 years when I was growing up, so that no doubt shaped me. And he also attended a conservation conference in Minneapolis a number of years ago where some important people and the old Vikings coach, Bud Grant, were on the program talking about conservation. And I noted his enthusiasm about conservation and wondered whether something really could be done more with conservation, writing about conservation. And my father's own interests have been so wide and varied that it would be hard to say if I took an interest in about anything under the sun that I had not been at least somewhat influenced by him, because he's always going in different directions. And someone who has a lot of different interests, he has been a person who has been an inspiration to me, because he finds the world in the small things around him. Hmm.
Tell me about how the book evolved and how you sort of sought the essays. Who's in the book? And let's talk about the contents little bit.
Oh, yeah, very good. There were some people working on conservation that I knew of, and I had to do a lot of coaxing and almost arm twisting to get them to write and contribute material. Other authors actually came to me through public calls I put out through the internet, and that was those were really good finds. And then a few of the authors were suggested by the board of the Center for Western Studies at Augustana University. And so that was the way that this book came about, in terms of bringing people together. Always am thinking, who else could have been part of this? But then I think to myself, I think everyone who is part of this and the topics that they are writing on, each author and each topic can really provoke people to see conservation in a different way. We have works on wild horses. We also have works on places where there is very little wildness, such as Iowa, and that's a place where the term conservation applies. So I was just impressed in the end at how much could be done with the term conservation if it were just put out there and given to different authors to work with.
The subtitle, if you're just tuning in, my guest Anthony Amato on In the Moment. We're talking about this new book, Conservation on the Northern Plains, New Perspectives. He's the editor of it. And when we talk about perspectives, Dr. Amato, I'm wondering, are there misperceptions, old perspectives that sort of really need to be reconsidered that come to mind for you?
One perspective is a perspective that dominated throughout the 20th century, that we are conserving things for our future use, and we actually are able to use them wisely. And what has been shown is that time and time again, people do not use things necessarily wisely. And also, what we choose to conserve, it should be more than just things that are useful to us. So that's something that is to be thought about. What do we need to be conserving that might not be of immediate use to us? Another perspective is that conservation always involves preservation and limits and keeping people out of areas. In fact, some of the conservation that we find in this book is about people's use of the land. Linda Haselstrom writes about ranching, and ranching obviously involves use of the land. And Peter Carroll's writes about a new generation of farmers, and farming obviously involves use of the land. So a misperception about conservation and that some conservationists even adopted in the past was that there is a nature out there that should be untouched by people. All nature in the past was touched by people because we've been around for a long time, and the key is to determine what sort of touch is appropriate.
Linda Hazelstrom, one of my favorite writers and authors here in the state, was looking through her piece and reading that, and she really talks about the connection, the potential connection with ranchers and somebody who might define themselves as an environmentalist, and how those conversations need to happen. Those folks need to understand each other. She really talks about eating meat too. So the book doesn't shy away from some of the more, I guess, controversial topics that might really stir some people up.
Yes, definitely. Her piece has many passages in it that will no doubt stir a number of people up, and her view of environmentalists and ranchers coming together seems to be almost unachievable right now, but there are a number of aspects that bring ranchers and environmentalists together, as she notes. And so I think by reading through the essays and carrying on a conversation in one's minds with the authors of this book, people can get a better sense that maybe they're not so far apart from their neighbors.
The entire book really could be a conversation ongoing. Did you find, as you were making the final selections and doing the editing work that needed to be done, that you wound up with a deeper understanding, more questions than answers? How did this sort of change your viewpoint on conservation?
I wound up with a lot more questions than answers after doing the book, and I also really came to see that people could be capable of doing conservation work in many different contexts and areas. And in a sense, I'm looking already maybe toward a second book in the distant future, I hope, about conservation, because there are so many people engaged in different forms of activities, and they wouldn't necessarily call them conservation, but they are conservation related activities. One, of course, mind changer, of course, is Linda Hazelstrom's essay. Another essay that also changed my mind tremendously was Peter Carroll's essay on farming. And yet a third essay in the book that changed my mind was by Lisa Ocean on Iowa. And I am continually sort of returning to topics in my mind, looking forward to possibly another book on this topic or a related topic.
What's at stake in this conversation now?
Well, what's at stake in this conversation is the fate of the whole world. I know that sounds grandiose and exaggerated, but really how we conserve resources, what we choose to use, and how we use it, much of this century that we're in is going to be determined by our use of resources. So a tremendous amount of everything is at stake, but these are things we don't think about. We turn on the faucet and we expect water, but in the Dakotas and even in western and southern Minnesota, water shortages are in our future. And so to say that everything is at stake and the world is at stake, that's not an understatement. I really think that this issue is, this group of issues are the issues that are going to determine who is able to live well and where people are able to live well.
What's at stake in the Northern Plains? Is there one issue that is most critical right now?
I'd say really a combination of three issues. I would say water scarcity. I would also say the loss of biodiversity because of the loss of habitat. And the third issue is sort of the wild card, climate change, where climate change will lead and what kind of impact it will have on cities, farms and ranches and natural areas is a big unknown. Right now we're quite familiar with the limits and deposits of water on and under the plains. And right now we have a good handle on a lot of the habitat and species diversity, but we don't know how things could be changing in the very near future. So I think that that is the perfect storm that's looming on the horizon.
So what are your hopes for a book like this then in that context?
I think that people will, my hope would be that people will take some of the author's words to heart and begin to take an interest in things that they've taken for granted. I also hope that this book will help them see the world in new ways and see new possibilities. Do what Linda Haselstrom suggests and stop and talk with a rancher. Actually look for places where conservation is occurring on the plains. And I think once people are aware of this, they'll be able to address issues as much more informed and engaged citizens.
The book is called Conservation on the Northern Plains, New Perspectives. It's available now. My guest, Anthony Amato. We reached him in Marshall, Minnesota. Thank you, Dr. Amato.
Well, thank you so much and have a good day.